You are tuned to the dirt.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found.
That's affirmative. He has evidence proving Bigfoot.
The search for the flying saucer.
You're about to explore another world, another universe, with the likes of Google, Bigfoot, and UFOs.
I woke up in the middle of the night. I don't know what it was.
He is overshadowed by the energy from the world teacher, and the world teacher uses him and gives a blessing.
And all of a sudden, I realized that the banging is coming from my kitchen. Instantly, I froze. I was so scared.
They said they heard a disembodied scream, like a bloody scream, like something bad was happening.
And now, here comes your diva of the dark, Lori Schultz.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into The Dirt tonight. I'm really excited to be here. I have a really great show planned out for everybody, and I think you guys are going to be really interested. And just so that you know, throughout the show, if you'd like to call in, please feel free. The number is 530-742-5555. Today, my guest lineup is Elaine D'Angelo, Joe Bruno, and Troy Sorber, who is going to be my guest co-host. And, of course, thank you, Chris Singleton, for being here with me tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about the history of Israel, the prophecies that are starting to come true, and just the sign of the times, basically. We're going to talk about, the U.S. Global elite and their plans, the Vatican, aliens. We have so many fun things planned. So when we come back, we're going to be introducing our guests. So everybody stay tuned for The Dirt, and we'll be on to a great show.
You are tuned to The Dirt. You're tuned to The Dirt.
A large number of perfectly sane and reliable people have been involved in this flying saucer business. We have been collecting material on flying saucer observation, checking, cross-checking, trying to track down leads, no matter how far afield they took us. This, tonight, is our report. We are going to bring you the facts at hand. What they add up to? Well, that's for you to decide. That's up to you.
And now, here comes your diva of the dark, Lori Schultz.
Hi, everybody. Thank you again so much for tuning in to The Dirt tonight. Again, I'd like to introduce my guest tonight. My guest co-host is Troy Sorber, and he is going to be helping me in our interview and conversation that we're going to be having with Elaine D'Angelo and Joe Bruno. He is the published author. So I just want to see if Troy, are you there with us?
I'm here.
Hi, Troy. Thank you so much for being my guest co-host today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. The listeners, Troy has been on before. He's actually my brother-in-law, and we've had some really great conversations. And this is a topic that, seriously, every time we get together, we talk about a lot of the topics, the prophecies that are coming true, just so much. I mean, just government conspiracies, everything. And it's just a really great topic of interest for Troy, myself, and also the other guests that we're having on today. Troy, if you want to tell everybody a little bit about yourself, that would be great.
I am a believer in Jesus Christ first and foremost. I work for the Potts County Sewer Department, and I really enjoy trying to get a grasp of what's going on in the world, because I think that they make it really confusing so that no one can really understand what's going on. So I do my best just to try to figure it all out, and it interests me.
I know. I agree. You do a great job with that. I mean, I seriously, like, every time I go there, he's, like, always up on everything. I mean, we're talking, like, the blood moons, the everything. Like, usually if anything's going on major, like, in astrology or anything, whether it's asteroids or anything, Troy's usually the one that is like, hey, Lori. Don't know if you know this, but, you know, so it's so much fun to talk with you, Troy, and I love having you on my show, so thank you very much for being here tonight.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, so our guests tonight, Elaine D'Angelo and Joe Bruno, or Joseph Bruno, are you here with us tonight?
Hello.
Hi, Elaine. Thank you so much, and welcome back to The Dirt. You're one of my very favorite guests in the whole world because, I mean, I love the way you think. I mean, you're the founder and creator, basically, of Quest Paranormal, right?
Uh-huh.
And also, oh my goodness, just you keep the world, like you made it a mission for yourself to just basically educate and keep everybody informed of what's going on with our government, biblical prophecies, everything else. I mean, her Facebook is just a land of information. And of course, her uncle, Joe Bruno, who is a published author, obviously shares the same interests. And so it's just such a pleasure to have you both on. Joe Bruno, are you here with us?
Yeah, I'm here. It's nice to be on your show.
Oh, thank you so much for being on The Dirt. And you are a first-time guest, although I have heard about you before. So just welcome to The Dirt. And maybe we'll start with Elaine. Elaine, if you'd like to tell everybody a little bit about yourself, even though you are a return guest and a welcome and loved guest, I would love everybody to know a little bit about
yourself. As soon as I catch my breath, I'm running up the steps.
Okay. Well, we could start with your uncle.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, Joe, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself and the books that you have written?
Yeah, I've been in the computer industry for about 27 years now. I have worked for big companies like IBM. I worked for Boeing, a lot of large companies. As a computer analyst and a computer system DBA. One of the companies I worked at, I had a bunch of time on my hands, so I did some research, and I would get my work done the first hour, and then the next hours I would go on and research things that I was interested in, like the lost books of the Bible, the Vatican, history of Israel, and that type of thing. And then I just started to write my first book about 8 years ago, which I published, and now there was light, and I just came out with a new book, which is called Quantum Healing with Resonance, and it mainly the topic is quantum physics and how it relates to healing, and that's where I'm at right now.
Well, it is such a pleasure to have you on, and you sound like you're exactly like Elaine when it comes to your interests. It's like
my breath.
All right, Elaine, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us
yes,
a little bit about
yes, I am Elaine D'Angelo, founder of Quest Paranormal Society. I also have a Facebook page called Seeking the Truth and Sharing the Knowledge. I also am very involved in politics, study of different cultures and religions. I am Catholic, born and raised Catholic and baptized Catholic, although I do not agree with many of the Vatican rules and the laws that were bestowed upon Catholics. So I also consider myself to be a Gnostic Christian, whereas I do follow the Book of Thomas and the Book of Mary Magdalene and the Book of Enoch. The books of the Bible that the Catholic Church doesn't want us to read because it reveals a lot of the truth when it comes to our civilization and the way it was created, and yes, aliens, of course, they are holding us back dramatically from the truth. So at the end, our last topic is going to be about the Vatican and alien disclosure and how it relates to alien disclosure and all that good stuff. So we have a few good topics here. None's going to be about ghosts tonight, though. No ghost topics tonight.
Well, the thing is, my show isn't always only about ghosts. And
no, I meant because I'm from Quest Paranormal.
Exactly. So, you know, but if somebody does call in, you never know.
You never know.
They just might, because you actually had something very interesting just happen. But since you said no ghosts, I won't even say anything. But
Do you mean my personal thing with my grandma?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll tell that later.
Okay. That sounds great.
We'll see if we have time. But, so tonight, basically, we're going to talk about the war, the signs of the times. I truly believe we are at the end times, and we will see it in our lifetime, and I've discussed that in our previous show. However, I don't want everybody getting scared or going out and buying everything in the grocery stores. It's nothing about doom and gloom. It's about truth. It's about being aware. It's about being ready, and it's about knowing what to do to be saved as well. And
exactly.
We all know that's through God and Christ. But our topics are going to be about Israel, the war in Israel, what's going on and how it relates to revelations and the Bible prophecies. We're also going to talk about the global elite, Illuminati, UN, whatever you wish to call them, the Masons. They have several names, but they're all the same people.
And
the
so tonight
owners
also
of the World Bank.
I wanted to also find out if your Troy, I know that you believe that you're on the, I believe that you share the beliefs that we're on the same, you're on the same page as Elaine, that we are at the end times. And so
I really think it's that we are, because a lot of what Jesus says, like, it'll be like the days of Noah.
We're probably right in the middle of the five commitments that Ezekiel made, and I'll talk about that a little later. So,
and I guess we can get started, because then our last topic was going to be about Vatican and the Vatican and aliens. So, I mean, I'm going to let my uncle, you know, I've been on before. I'll jump in here and there. He, like, we spoke before about my family and how many brilliant people I have in my family. You know, I have my cousin creates space policy for the government and NASA. You know, she's a nuclear physicist. I have a biologist that's looking for the cure of cancer. My uncle, who you have on the phone now, he's brilliant, not only in terms of science, but in terms of spirituality and dimensions and thinking outside the box. So I'm going to let him get started. I'm going to sit back, listen for a while, and Troy, you guys are going to really hit it off as well. So have at it.
Yeah,
I'm excited. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how you doing? Elaine, did you ever speak about your A-negative bloodline?
Just wait 1 second before we start get going. We're actually going to a break. So when we come back, we're going to start with one topic at a time, and everybody's going to have their turn so we can have a conversation that everybody can follow nice and easy. So we are going to have a great show. Stay tuned, everybody, for The Dirt. We've got Elaine D'Angelo, Joe Bruno, and Troy Sorber on the line with us.
You are tuned to The Dirt. You're tuned to The Dirt. Get interactive with Lori by contacting her blog at laurieschultz.blogspot.com. Here comes your diva of the dark, Lori Schultz.
Hi, everybody. Thank you again so much for tuning in tonight. So my special guest, Elaine D'Angelo, Joe Bruno, and my guest co-host, Troy Sorber. I'd like to introduce everybody. And Joe, I'd like to see what topic it is that you'd like to start our conversation off in.
Yeah, I want to start off, I want to talk a little bit about the history of Israel and Muslim hatred towards Israel.
I'm sorry, there's a little background noise. We can't quite hear you real well.
I know. That's my mother, of course.
Okay, so what was the topic? I'm sorry, one more time.
Okay, I'm going to start talking about Israel, Muslim hatred towards Israel, and the global elite and their plan.
Okay, that sounds great. So let's get this conversation started with that. That sounds a great place to start.
Okay, well, we'll start with the history of Israel and the name Israel by itself. Now, the name Israel has three syllables. It has I-S, R-A, and E-L. So, the first I-S part of it will stand for ISIS, and the Ra part of it, which is Ra, the sun god, the ancient sun god of Egypt, and the EL part of it, the EL part of it, can stand for either Elohim or Enlil, which was one of Anu's sons. So we have.
Excuse me, which we spoke about the creation story, remember?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Joe.
We have Isis, we have which is the most prominent figure in ancient Egypt. We have Ra, and we have El. And that makes up the word Israel. Now, Isis was the wife of Osiris, and the mother of Horus, and that's where we get the Eye of Horus and the Eye of Providence that's on the dollar bill. Osiris, if you put the syllables in Osiris, it could stand for Osirius, which was the origin of the Sirius star system, the origin of where Isis and Osiris came from. Actually, Isis and Osiris were brothers and sisters, and they were actually married together. And the name Horus comes from, it's based on the sun rising from horizon to horizon. And that's where Horus means horizon. And it's from the Ra, the sun god, rising, horizon from horizon, and that's where you get the word Horus. Now, the book of Genesis was named after Isis. So Isis is so prominent that they even named the book of Genesis after her. Genesis is gene of Isis, Genesis, and that's where the name Genesis comes from. So Isis was the mother of all, and Horus was like similar to Jesus in older Egyptian days. You ever see pictures? pictures of Isis holding Horus, it would be the same depiction of Mary holding Jesus, that same depiction. So Isis and Horus depiction is just like Mary and Jesus depiction, only in the older days.
Mm-hmm.
And the sun god, which was Ra, he was the sun god, he rose just like the son of God rose. The sun god rose like the son of God rose. So you have them similarities and those contrasts there. Osiris from the Sirius star system was Osiris, and Isis means female of the flesh. And what I think Isis from the Pleiades Sirius star system was a hybrid god, and they called her female of the flesh because she was part flesh and part hybrid. And she had that spiritual connection with the Pleiades star system. So the name Israel goes way back to the ancient times. And Isis was married to her brother Iris. And if you ever notice that Isis had this real large, elongated head, her head was much larger than anyone else. If you ever see pictures of her or see statues of her, she was always wearing the big hat to cover her head because it was so larger than the normal head. Ra was the sun god, and the Egyptian name for Ra was Amen-Ra, Amen-Ra. So when they said their prayers in the ancient Egyptian times, they would always end their prayers with Amen-Ra. And if you ask Christians today, you know, why do you end your prayers with Amen? I interviewed about 99 Christians, 100 Christians, and 99 of them didn't know this answer. And the reason why they end their prayers with Amen is because they used to end the prayers with Amen-Ra. And when Constantinople switched to Christianity, they cut off the Ra part of it, and he no longer worshipped the sun, but he worshipped God and Jesus.
I thought Amen means let it be so.
Amen means what?
Let it be so, like, please, Lord, let this happen, but it means let it be so.
Yeah, the word Amen itself means let it be so. And that Amen-Ra was the sun god, so the first part of his name was let it be so, Am-Ra, the sun god. And that's the way they ended their prayers, with Amen-Ra. And now we just end our prayers with Amen. So the sun god Horus, the eye of Horus, stands for rebirth. And that's why when we see the eye of the providence on the dollar bill, it stands for a rebirth or a new world order, which is what they're searching for, a new world order. The El in the Israel, the last part, El stands for either Elohim or Enlil. And Elohim, the very first sentence of the Bible, was the, and I'm not speaking of the Bible that we read now that was translated thousands of times and different versions. You got the King James Version, you have this version, you have that version. I'm speaking of the real ancient Hebrew Bible. The first sentence was, the Elohim created man in their image and their likeness. And it was changed to, God created man in his image and his likeness. Well, you know, in 300 A.D., these three councils got together, the Council of Nicaea and the Council of Constantinople, and all the popes got together, and they started changing what was in the Bible back then, which was many books, and many, many books that they threw out. And some of the books they threw out was the Book of Enoch and the Book of Giants. There was actually giants back in them days, and they talked about the Elohim, and they took that word out. So getting back to what the EL stands for, it could stand for the Elohim, which could also be Enlil, because Anu, who came to Earth, had two sons, Enki and Enlil. One stood for the good of mankind, and one stood for the bad of mankind. One was jealous of man, and one was good of the man that they created. And this goes back to Zechariah Sitchin's. There was Zechariah Sitchin. Had written books called the Earth Chronicles, and he has 8 books out there that are very popular and being well accepted right now. He goes to the cuneiform writing and it deciphers the cuneiform writing into translations that are being well accepted now in this day and age.
Joe, we're actually going to another commercial, so when we come back, we will continue your definitions and your explanation of Israel.
You are tuned to The Dirt. You are tuned to The Dirt.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to The Dirt. Okay, Joe, before we went to the break, we're covering where the name Israel derived from, and You were just kind of going into some of the basics with that. And so I just wanted to see if everybody's kind of ready to move into some of our prophecies that are coming true.
I have a question real quick. Does the IS and Israel have anything to do with ISIS that's going on right now in Iraq, Mosul, Iraq?
Yeah, there's an ISIS terrorist group right now in Iraq, and it just so happens that their name is ISIS.
Yeah, I know it was. It used to be ISIS, but they just changed it like 2 days ago to just to straight IS, which means Islamic State. But I just didn't know if it. I was just curious if it had anything to do with that.
The actual Bible prophecy that that Joe's going to be getting into, what it is actually is how Israel became God's chosen nation, and how he's going to explain where the Muslim people came from, Allah, the difference between Allah and God, and how all these wars started happening. So go ahead, Joe, if you want to go ahead and get into that part of it.
Yeah, let's get into the story of Abraham. So Abraham gets this promised land from God. God promises Abraham this land from the river of Egypt to the river of the Euphrates. And Abraham then gives the land to Isaac. Isaac was his son. And Isaac had two twin sons, Jacob and Esau. Esau was noted as the redhead out of the twin sons. Esau was the firstborn, and back then they always favored the firstborn. So Isaac, of course, favored Esau over Jacob just for the mere fact that he was the firstborn son. And they were twins, but he came out first, so he was the firstborn son.
Yeah, he stuck his hand in front of Jacob, right, in the womb? Or wasn't it something like that? They were fighting to get out first?
Yes, there was a struggle in the womb. And that struggle in the womb between Jacob and Esau, we're struggling to see who would get out first. You're totally correct in that. That struggle still goes on to this day between the nations, and I'll get into how that struggle is continually going on. Jacob knew that his father, Isaac, was going blind, so he tricked Isaac into thinking that he was Esau. What came out of it was Isaac gave Jacob the promised land, all the wealth, and the land. And Abraham gives the land wealth to Jacob, who thinks that Isaac gives the wealth to Jacob, who thinks that he is Esau, the firstborn. But actually, he's not the firstborn. So God had confirmed that the Messiah would come from the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Jacob's name right then, after Isaac died, Jacob's name was then changed to Israel, which was the holiest of names back then. And Esau's name was changed to Edom. So Jacob, being Israel, started the Israelites and dominated most of the land and with the wealthy oil and the riches that was given to him, while the Edomites struggled as farmers, and they were a small part of the southern land, and they always had to struggle, just like the struggle in the womb. However, Jacob got all the wealth. Jacob got the prominent land. Jacob got the land with the oil, and he got everything. This is the real reason why the Muslims country's hatred towards Israel, the origin of the Muslim country's hatred towards Israel, because the jealousy still goes around that Jacob got everything, and he tricked Isaac into doing it, and this is the main reason. Esau and Jacob did struggle. They battled in the womb, and they still struggle this day. And by the way, Rebecca was too old to have kids. Her womb was barren. And in the Old Testament, there were three major figures that had three major women that had this barren womb. One was John the Baptist's mom, Elizabeth, which was the cousin of Mary, Jesus's mom, who also had a barren womb, and Rebecca had a barren womb. And Elizabeth and Rebecca were way too old to have kids. So, of course, we know Mary's son was Jesus, and John the Baptist was the son of Elizabeth, who was also barren. And you don't hear too much about John the Baptist because you hear mostly about Jesus. But actually, John the Baptist was actually a more prominent figure back in the day, and he's the one that anointed Jesus and gave him his power. And the womb preparation of the barren wombs back in the days was done really so they can carry these powerful children, Jesus being so powerful, and John the Baptist being so powerful, and that the womb preparation of also Jacob and Esau was also prepared too. But I won't get into that part of it. I could write a whole book on that, just that part of it. It's So the two nations until this day, Palestine and Israel, continue to struggle, just like Jacob and Esau struggled in the womb. And even King Saul and David came from the descendants of Jacob, which was the most prominent line. And during the Maccabean Wars, the Edomites were forced to convert to Judaism because the Israelites at the time were more powerful than the Edomites, and they told them they had to convert to Judaism. So they converted to Judaism. And when Solomon died, Israel split into two kingdoms, which was Judea to the south and the other to the north. And here's where the 12 sons of Israel, or Jacob, who was Jacob's name, was Israel now. So the 12 tribes or sons of Israel come into play, where he had Jacob had 12 sons: Reuben, Simon, Levi, Judah, Dan, and so forth and so on. And the kingdom of Judah consisted of the sons Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah, and Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin. John the Baptist was totally from a different tribe. He was on the Edomite side. He was from the Levi tribe. And you don't hear much about John the Baptist because they don't talk about the Levites too much, because they were part of the Edomites. They weren't part of the Judea branch and the Israelites. So even the name in the name Tribulation in the book of John, just the Revelation of John, the name Tribulation comes from the word tribe. And this was from the 12 tribes of Israel. When most of the world follows the Antichrist and the 144,000 Jews from the original tribes, which are now scattered all over the world, who knows where they are right now, will be sealed by God. So before tribulation comes, there'll be a big Mideastern war, and then there'll be the war, the big war, the Battle of Armageddon, which is the Battle of Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog are going to invade Israel. Israel will be a great power at this time. Now, in Ezekiel 38:39, it talks about the war of Gog and Magog. And there are five things on the timeline that have to happen before this great war happens. The things that are on the first thing on the timeline is that the Jews have returned from exile, which already happened. This happened in, I think it was 1948, when Israel was granted statehood. And
I think it was 47, but go ahead.
47, when Israel was granted statehood. The second thing that was supposed to happen that did happen is the Jews will return from exile to the mountains of Israel. And this had happened in the Six-Day War, when Israel won the West Bank, and they became the exiled in the mountains of Israel. So they expanded their property. The third, fourth, and fifth did not happen yet. And before the Battle of Gog and Magog, the third, fourth, and fifth have to happen. And the third thing is that the Jews will be living securely in the land. Well, we know that the Jews are not living securely.
Unless they blow Palestine and Hamas off the face of the earth, then maybe, and clear their borders, which is the direction it's going in, you know, in my opinion. But go ahead.
So the fourth thing is Israel will have great wealth following this war that may happen in the Mideast. Who knows? So in some way, shape, or form, probably a war in the Mideast, they're going to gain their great wealth, and they're going
to oil,
and they're going to have more property. And the fifth thing that happened...
I thought Israel had, the biggest oil reserves right off the coast of Israel right now.
Yeah.
Couldn't they have the wealth already?
Not bigger than all of Saudi Arabia and all the Middle Eastern countries.
Yeah, I heard it was bigger. I might have heard wrong. But they just discovered it a little while ago.
Yeah.
They have a huge oil reserve.
Like I said, that's my opinion. The wealth doesn't necessarily mean just oil.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You know what I mean? What else? They're going to gain land. Maybe they'll gain their land back that they gave to the Palestinians. You know, they could maybe gain. Didn't they? They took Jerusalem, the Temple Mount as well. The Vatican's going after the Temple Mount right now.
Yeah, the Temple Mount has to be rebuilt again.
And the Vatican just bought it, right, Joe? Am I mistaken, or they're buying it?
I believe they're in the deal right now.
Yeah. So why did the Vatican buy the Temple Mount? Because Jesus promised he would return on the Temple Mount.
Right.
So that's...
Didn't the Vatican just say, a month ago, that they thought Jesus wasn't going to return? I heard that night.
No, I don't...
No, you didn't hear that? Okay.
The Vatican said that?
That's what I heard.
I don't think the Vatican said that, but I don't want to get off you know, I will get into the Vatican and the alien savior, but go ahead if you want to finish talking about that.
Yeah, well, the fifth thing and the last thing that has to happen is the land east of the Dead Sea will be within Israel's borders. So what's going to happen is Israel's going to expand, and they're going to expand. They're going to own a lot of land. They're going to probably own the Palestinian land also. So the land east of the Dead Sea will be right on the border. That's how they're going to expand. And then the war of Gog and Magog will happen when Gog invades Israel. Now, my depiction is Gog is Russia, and Magog is, I think, Turkey. And they're the rulers of the north that are going to come and invade Israel.
Now, this is after, like, Armageddon isn't first. What's first is this first war with Israel where they're going to gain land.
Okay, everybody, we are going to be going to a break. So when we come back, we will continue the discussion. And so everybody stay tuned for The Dirt. If you have any questions or you'd like to contribute to our conversation, you can call in at 530-742-5555. Stay
tuned. You are tuned to The Dirt. You are tuned to The Dirt. Get interactive with Lori by contacting her blog at lorischulz.blogspot.com. Here comes your diva of the dark, Lori Schulz.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to this very educational conversation that we're having with Joe Bruno, Elaine D'Angelo, and my guest co-host, Troy Thurber. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome.
All right. So, sorry for interrupting that, and we can continue on where we left off, but we've got to take our breaks and pay our bills.
Okay, we were talking about Russia and Gog and Magog invading Israel, and the word Gog itself stems from the Hebrew word Rosh Mishter, which sounds like Russia, Moscow. Gog was the prince of Rosh in the Bible, or Mishter, which is Rosh Mishter. And Russia fits well into this terminology because Russia right now is atheistic and against God. So they fit well into this prophecy of them invading Israel. Now, I want to talk a little about these days with the U.S. global elite and their plan. Putin is very powerful. Putin knows the elite's plan, and he knows the plan to control the population and the New World Order and the government. And in 1949, David Rockefeller started the Trilateral Commission and the Foreign Council of Foreign Relations to give the elite more power at working with the UN. It was started in New York, as a building in New York, the Rockefeller Center. And the idea of the Trilateral Commissions is to have the head of three countries of the world come together and decide on plans for the world. And a meeting had just been held where England gave power to the USA to make the dollar the world standard because it was backed by gold. And back then they thought USA had all this gold in Fort Knox, which they exaggerated, and I think till this day they exaggerated. And the dollar standard was met, and it was backed by gold, which the U.S. was supposed to have so much of. Now, during the Vietnam War afterwards, when Kennedy was president and when Nixon became president, money was getting scarce because they had to fund the Vietnam War, and they were running out of gold to back the money. So Nixon came on, and he said he was going to temporarily eliminate the gold standard from the money standard. So Nixon did eliminate that, but it wasn't temporary. It still goes on to this day where money is not being backed by gold. It's not being backed by anything. And the Federal Reserve to this day keeps on printing money, printing more money, and printing more money until no end. And the stock market keeps on rising. And this is currently happening, and it's very, very prominent in the world today. And the reason why they can get away with printing this money is because in the Mideast, when they met with the Saudi Arabian princes, they made the dollar the standard to trade for oil. So they created OPEC. And OPEC made sure that the dollar was the standard when countries trade for oil, they would have to convert their currency into the U.S. dollar, and that money that was converted into U.S. dollar went right to the U.S. so we can continue printing more money, making our military more wealthier and more powerful. And that's what ended the Cold War, because the United States became the sole superpower, and Russia and the Soviet Union couldn't keep up with the United States because they had so much military growth. And the reason why Kennedy also wanted to stop the Vietnam War, because he knew they were running short on the gold to back the dollar. So when he wanted to stop the Vietnam War, the elite corporation, the corporate elites,
the UN, the elite, Illuminati, whatever you want to call them,
the big corporation, they got together, and Kennedy was murdered. He was assassinated. So getting back to Nixon, it was supposed to be a temporary deal, but it still goes on today. And there were people that threatened this dollar that they traded. This U.S. dollar was called the petrodollar, which is the oil dollar. The first person to threaten it was Gaddafi, Muammar Gaddafi from Libya, where he said, okay, we don't want this petrodollar anymore. We want to trade oil with our own gold standard, with our own dollar. So the United States found out that he threatened to do that, and we went into Libya, and that's where we went after Gaddafi. The second person that tried to make...
And now the elite owned the bank there as well.
Right. The other person was Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein threatened many times to go to a new standard for trading oil against the U.S. dollar. And look what happened to Saddam Hussein.
And went in and took his...
And look what happened. The U.S. invaded Iraq two times. And by the way, with these invasions of Iraq, there were you don't find out about these statistics, but there were 500,000 innocent children killed in the invasion of Iraq, and that was more than were killed in the Hiroshima nuclear bomb dropping.
Mm-hmm.
There were more people, more children, innocent children, killed in Iraq than Hiroshima bomb dropping. And just to think that we can just that we're the bullies going in, working for the UN, working for these elite bankers, and going ahead and killing all these kids.
And America is the final straw to their New World Order. Meaning, once we're disarmed and once we're enslaved and socialist or a communist nation, they now can finish up their New World Order, where they want two-thirds of the population of the world gone, and we see it happening. Our currency is declining rapidly. Obama just implemented H.R. 2847, which states that in time of war, the government can go in and freeze, take your retirement, investment accounts, everything. So if anybody is listening and has money in the bank, get it out and buy gold and silver now, because the China, Russia, India, and one other country just got together and denounced the U.S. dollar as the main dollar, and now they just opened a central bank. So there's going to be one world currency, one world government. The Pope Francis is not who he seems. He is for one world order, one world government, us under the slaves. We talked about before, Lori, the elite, the global elite, they only have one master, and that's Satan. You want to call him Satan, you want to call him reptilian, whatever you want to call him, that's their master. So we are in the age where once America is taken over by these global elite, we're the final straw. We're like God's other chosen people. We're God's country.
Okay.
God is practically gone from everything in this country except
Elaine, I'm sorry to interrupt this. When we come back, we're going to have actually a little bit longer break right now. It's the top of the hour, so it'll be about 6 minutes that you guys can go get a drink, use the bathrooms, whatever you need to do to get ready to continue this very intriguing educational conversation that we're having with everybody. Stay tuned for The Dirt, everyone, and we will be right back after the top of the hour.
You're tuned to the dirt.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found.
That's affirmative. He has evidence proving Bigfoot.
The search for the flying saucer.
You're about to explore another world, another universe with the likes of Guru, Bigfoot, and UFO.
I woke up in the middle of the night. I don't know what it was.
He is overshadowed by the energy from the world teacher, and the world teacher uses him and gives a blessing.
And all of a sudden, I realized that the banging is coming from my kitchen. Instantly, I froze. I was so scared.
They said they heard, a disembodied scream, like a bloody scream, like something bad was happening.
And now, here comes your diva of the dark, Lori Schultz.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us. We're on the second half of the show now. And again, my guests are Elaine D'Angelo, Joe Bruno. He is a published author, Troy Sorber, who is my guest co-host. Welcome back, everybody. I hope everybody had a nice break.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, so.
We were at Obama and HR2847. Me warning everyone to liquidate their cash and buy gold and silver, because pretty soon the country's not going to be looking so good. And again, yeah. I'm not trying to be a doomsday prophet, you know. I just want you to be warned, because this is their plan.
And plus, everybody should know and be aware of, there are ways for you to kind of protect yourselves from somewhat of the situation. But you know what I mean? Things that you can look into. There are other ways of keeping your wealth or your money and different things. But I mean, it's just so much bigger than that. But there are ways of holding on to it so that all of a sudden your accounts aren't drained and everything else. So I think, it's good advice. And if people want to take that advice, there's nothing wrong with it. You know what?
The information's out there.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think it's good. And also when you were talking about the New World Order and everything else. They have, I don't know if you've ever looked into even just the Denver, Colorado airport, just how they have, they show the population on all those murals that they have painted and everything else that were all up. And they have all these underground camps and where the barbed wire fences are the inside instead of the out. There are a lot of signs and a lot of things right in front of our faces that show the intentions of what's going on.
And one more thing I like to warn people about, I warned about our last show, which a lot of things are coming true, aren't they, what we spoke about before?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to warn people about the mark of the beast in the Bible, that the Bible talks about in the wrist. This is a part of Obamacare. This is a microchip that they're already putting in illegals or immigrants and babies, and some parents are not even knowing that they're putting these microchips in their kids.
Well, I thought you couldn't take you have to actually accept the mark of the beast. They can't just put it on you.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. They're going to, pretty soon, in the near future, they're going to be knocking at your door. You need to get this microchip. If you get it, you can go to work. You can play with your family. You can go to movies. You could buy stuff. But if you don't, you have to go to FEMA camp. Because supposedly this microchip is going to have all your vaccinations, and you must get vaccinated because they're going to lie about breakouts and Ebola. Look, they're doing it already with the immigrants coming.
Or they can even just cause some breakouts.
Right, exactly. So don't accept it, because once you accept it, you just gave your soul away.
And then don't they have 60-some FEMA camps set up?
Yeah, and you'll go to the FEMA camp, but guess what? Now, to me and my soul, my spirit, that's our tribulation, living not under the rule of Satan, demanding that you will never change and never bow down to Satan. So just wait for God, and Jesus will be back. And that's why I'm saying it's not all doom and gloom. It might be some tribulation, but hey, it's nothing that any one of us can handle, because I believe that everyone who's around on the last day were meant to be there because they're strong enough to handle it.
Mm-hmm. So you don't believe in the rapture at all?
No, I don't believe in rapture. No, I don't believe that husband and wives would be laying next to each other and boof in midair. I believe it's going to be more hands-on. I believe Jesus, Nibiru, God's planet, is or will be here And we're going to see the Son of God as he promised us.
During the 7 years of tribulation, the Holy Spirit will be taken away from the planet?
Well, what? I'm sorry?
Will be taken away from the planet?
The Holy Spirit will be taken away from the planet?
Yeah, because the Bible talks about a restrainer.
Right, it'll be Satan's world.
I thought God said that we would never be left or forsaken. He would never leave us or forsake us. So
no, he never.
If the Holy Spirit's in us,
also,
and he takes the Holy Spirit,
coming back to make peace on earth. So how do you know that the rapture doesn't mean all the bad people are going to get sucked out and the good people?
I'm just curious because I just don't see how I don't see how God could leave us here for 7 years without him to help us.
No, I don't think he's going to be gone. I just think that means it's going to be a world ruled by Satan. Just because it's a world ruled by Satan doesn't mean that God isn't here for the ones who are searching or looking, to him.
Right.
I mean, there's always suffering.
And so when we're talking about, some of the things that have been established and have been in the works of becoming established for so long, longer than anybody really realizes, especially through the Illuminati and different things like that. Where do you think they're going to determine which of the population stays, goes? I mean, do you think it's just going to be the strong leaders or just where do you think they're going to determine their population control from?
When David Rockefeller started the Trilateral Commission and all these commissions, and even before that, going back to the Rothschilds, the main plan of these Illuminati organizations was to depopulate the world by 9/10. So right now we have approximately 7 billion people in the world right now, and they want to get it down to about 500 million people in the world. That's the main plan of the one world government, Illuminati. This is written in the Georgia Stones in 1979 in Georgia. I'm speaking of Georgia here in America.
Mm-hmm.
There are two stones they discovered, and they had all these commandments on there. There were 7 or 8 different commandments on there, and the first two speak of the depopulation of getting the people down to 9/10 all over the world, only 500 million, to control society and make nature flow better, and there was the second prophecy of a one world government too. So this will eliminate having a one world government, same religion, will eliminate all wars in the world, and getting it down to 500 million people will eliminate the resource problem that we have, where we won't be short in resources. And this is actually written in the Georgia Stones. No one really knows where these Georgia Stones originated from or who wrote them, but they do exist. If you Google the Georgia Stones, you'll read a lot about them.
Okay.
Now, Putin is pretty smart because he knows about the globalist plan and he knows about the New World Order, the ultimate plan of the New World Order. And he's trying to rebuild the old Soviet Union right now, and he's doing a good job of it. And he's trying to get Iran and China on his side, which he's doing a good job of it, too. And he wants to regain the land of the old Soviet Union. He wants them to be powerful again. And he took them from being a poor nation to a very wealthy nation right now, as it's happening. And he's very smart. He's a very smart leader, and he's against these Illuminati
I'd vote for him over Obama.
Leaders. But we think of who gains from the New World Order. Who are the top people that will gain from having a New World Order this way? And it's the global elitist, the Federal Reserve Bank, which the Federal Reserve Bank is a consortium of non-Zionist, Jewish-owned and associated banks, with the Rothschilds being the head. You got the Rothschild Banks of London and Berlin. You got the Lazar Brothers Bank of Paris. You got the Israel Bank of Italy, Warburg Bank of Hamburg, Lehman Brothers of New York, Goldman Sachs of New York, and Kuhn of New York. These are all part of the global elite Rothschild's banking system, which the Rothschilds themselves claim to be Zionist Jewish owned, but they're not really Zionist Jewish owned. They're not from the original 12 tribes of Jacob. They're just from an area which is now considered Georgia, near Russia, and they were from that area, which 90% of the people who claim to be Jewish right now are not really the old Jewish people that we speak of. The Rothschild history was started by Meyer Rothschild. He was born in 1744, and he was a rare coin dealer, and he had a son, Solomon Meyer Rothschild, and the money, the origin of them making their money is they had, they were two rich farmers, and they sold their horse for $250,000 to a rich farmer. Then they bought the horse back for $20. And from this $250,000 that they made selling their horse, they started their banking system, which became the largest banking scam in history.
Wow.
And Rothschild claimed to be Jewish, but they were actually from a land near Georgia, which is between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, and these people were the Khazars. And most of the people today who claim to be Jewish actually come from the land of the Khazars. And they were really false Jews. They're not from the original 12 tribes, and they're not from the real Jewish tribes who were scattered throughout the world.
So in other words, there's infiltrators into the God's chosen people are the Jews. We all agree on that. They've always been God's chosen people. However, there are elitists that are claiming to be God's chosen people who are total opposite. Just like there's people in the Vatican, like possibly popes and bishops that are claiming to be worshippers of our Lord, yet they, you know, sit on golden thrones and worship other things and talk about money and things like that, which Jesus never taught.
We are actually going to go to a break. So everybody hold that thought, and we'll be back with the dirt in just a moment.
You are tuned to the dirt. You are tuned to the dirt.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to the dirt. Thank you so much. We're having a great conversation. In fact, the time is flying by way too fast. And I know that there were quite a few subjects that we were hoping to cover. We've got Elaine D'Angelo, Joe Bruno, and Troy Sorber with us. And I guess before we close things up, I know... Basically, I know that they want the collapse of the dollar. I know they're looking for the New World Order. I know, just there's so many, the FEMA camps, there's different things in place. I mean, we've got Illuminati. We've got things that are just like history shows that are taking place and that need to take place. The prophecies that have been coming true right before our eyes. Just all the different things. So in summary, I just want to ask you three each, just give you guys each a couple minutes to tell me what you think as a person, as individuals, if you're, what you can do to protect yourselves and what, how to handle it in your opinion during this time, like if everything should happen in our lifetime. And I'm just curious, but all three of you, just your individual thoughts and on how to be prepared for what seems to be happening all around us.
Well, you know my answer, get back in touch with Christ. See, I'm lucky. I've never lost touch with him since I was born. The minute I was born, he's always been in my life. You know my background, with my family and my mother and stuff, being a Eucharistic minister and born-again Christian. So I feel that because you let go and let God, I do that in my everyday decision-making. I put it in his hands, and it always seems to work out, and he always allows me to learn lessons. Not saying my life is all, you know, rosy. However, I just let go and let God, and that's why I am able to talk about this as it's happening and not be even a bit afraid of anything that's going to happen. Just take it day by day. Love everybody. Treat everybody with respect. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, we all have people we don't like. Like, I don't like Obama. But, you know, just be a good person and forget about what you think of your and this religion you're going to believe in. We are God's children, and you need to get back in touch with God and his commandments if you want to be saved. Like the Bible says, every Bible says the same thing. Get back in touch with your Creator. A lot of people have lost him and can't find him, and it's so easy because he's inside of you. His blood is running through yours, so if you look inside, you'll find him.
Okay, Troy?
I think that's a great answer, by the way. I completely agree.
Thank you.
I think we should pray for President Obama. I totally disagree with almost everything he does, but I think prayer changes things, and that would be good to, for everyone that's listening, to pray for President Obama that he can know Jesus Christ and that he can start doing what the Bible says. That would
praise
change
everything.
And I agree. And I think that if anyone wants to get gold, make sure they actually have gold in their pocket. But before gold, make sure you get food, because if everyone's hungry, gold's not going to do any good. You can't eat
but
gold.
But from the people who have food, you maybe can give them gold.
Yeah, so. Well, people that are hungry are going to eat their food before they spend, you know, before they sell it for gold.
Let's hope we don't have to get that far.
I pray we don't either. I really do think
that. I know it could be.
There's hope that I could be wrong, but I hope that the rapture is true. I'm pretty sure it is, as far as I know. And that's where all my hope lies, is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that he'll take us away before it all gets really, really bad.
Or guide us through the suffering by carrying us.
Or guide us through the suffering, like you did with Stephen, the guy who got stoned to death in Acts.
Okay, and Joe?
Yeah, I believe the best thing you could do is put your trust in God and pray. I mean, it's inevitable. What's going to happen is going to happen, and there's really not much we can do about it. But I think we as human beings, we're only living in this three-dimensional reality right now, and I think there's far greater things that lie ahead. Part of this three-dimensional reality that we live in is suffering, and suffering is definitely a part of life. So we're going to suffer no matter what, and if this happens, and who's to know if we're going to be raptured or not? I don't know. That could happen. The revelation of John and it talks about the New Jerusalem, which is a Borg cube spaceship coming down, and it describes the spaceship to the T, the dimensions, and what it's all about, and rapturing us into the heavens with God. Whether that's going to happen or not, I mean, I can't predict the future, but what I could say is we're living on this earth in this three-dimensional reality that we live in. And there's many more dimensions other than this dimension and this reality. And if we have to suffer, then that's part of becoming more spiritual, the suffering part of it.
Thank you guys very much for sharing those opinions.
Do I have,
opinions? Yes?
I have like a couple minutes about what's going on right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
With alien disclosure.
Yeah.
Real quick.
I do want to go on to that, but we actually are going to be going to a break at the bottom of the hour. So then I just wanted you guys to have that time to share what you feel everybody should be, you know, focusing on during these times, because we spent, you know, the first half of the show and a part of the second half, you know, telling people all the things that are happening around us, all the things. And it's like, where could a person turn? And it's obviously within and to God to find the protection and the peace that they need to have in order to get through a lot of these things that they should all just keep taking place during our lifetimes. One quick question, and you guys do or don't have to answer this, but does anybody have an opinion of who they think the Antichrist is?
I have an opinion, but I might be hated by many. I don't think Obama is. I think he is a kind of like a John the Baptist to Jesus. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like setting the footstools. I believe the Antichrist is walking this earth. And it might very well be this new pope. I'm not saying it is, but he is totally not my Christ values in him, and I study a lot about him, and he is totally...
The new one, I didn't hear that.
He's the most liberal pope. Popes are not supposed to be liberal. They're supposed to be...
Okay, so Troy, your turn, because we've only got about a minute and a half left so before the break. So Troy, do you have an opinion, or would you rather not state?
No, I also don't think it's Obama. I think he might be a free runner like John the Baptist. I agree with that. I think it could be all of Baghdadi. He's looking like he's doing a lot of satanic things.
Who?
And it's all of Baghdadi. He's the head of ISIS.
I didn't hear you. Okay.
He's starting to take over stuff, and every time he conquers a city, he rides in the city on a white horse, just like Revelation talks about. So,
okay.
I'm not sure
What about you, Joe?
Yeah, I don't know if he's living today. I think he probably is living today. But I think he's going to be more attached with the global banking system and the New World Order. And I think he's going to be one of the leaders coming from the global banking system, which right now in USA is the Federal Reserve. But once it goes to the New World Order, it will probably be a branch off of that Federal Reserve. And this person will probably show up as the prominent leader of this banking system, and he'll gain popularity that way. That's my opinion.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for sharing that with us. And we'll be right back after this break, and we're going to move on to the aliens in the Vatican.
You're tuned to The Dirt.
A large number of perfectly sane and reliable people have been involved in this flying saucer business. We have been collecting material on flying saucer observation, checking, cross-checking, trying to track down leads, no matter how far afield they took us. This, tonight, is our report. We are going to bring you the facts at hand. What they add up to? Well, that's for you to decide. That's up to you.
And now, here comes your diva of the dark, Lori Schulz.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to this great show that we're having with Elaine D'Angelo, Joe Bruno, published author, and Troy Sorber, my guest co-host. It's been a wonderful conversation, very enlightening, very educational. I hope everybody out there has enjoyed listening to it. We are not going to talk about a subject that, I posted a little bit about it on Facebook. However, to be honest, I wasn't really aware of this until actually when I was speaking with Elaine, and I did find stuff online about it, but the Vatican hiding aliens. And so, that's a very intriguing subject. And also, I do know that they did have that the Pope was actually talking about alien exposure and everything else before this as well. So I don't know which one of you'd like to take off on this subject, but this is very intriguing. Are you guys there?
Okay. I have it all outlined out, so I can go through it real quickly.
Okay.
A Jesuit priest named Guy Consolmagno, Consolmagno, Consolmagno. He is the papal astronomer. Now, I've been seeing so much alien disclosure this and that from various non-mainstream sources in the past couple of weeks, some more credible than others. So, you know what, I said, let me go to the source, and this was the 23rd when I went to the source.
Okay.
Vatican website, front page. Jesuit priest, papal astronomer Guy Consolmagno, they had a conference in March. He came out and said science and religion can coexist. I would baptize any alien from any star system. Aliens have souls, he said. In March of this year, 200 worldwide leaders, religious leaders and astronomers from all over the world met to ramp up the search for extraterrestrial life. They verified that within two decades, we will indeed come in contact with alien life. Now, they're saying that for preparation's sake, but I think all of us here know they're already here. But anyway, this priest, the papal astronomer, called aliens the saviors of humankind. Okay, so when we talked about Jesus coming back, they're telling, these people are saying to look for the Savior coming back as an alien. This is in March in this conference. These are the things that were being said. This is not conspiracy theory, folks. This is happening. This is how they're preparing us for disclosure. Now, Karen Hudes. Now, I don't know if I'm saying her name right. It's either Hudes or Hudes, H-U-D-E-S. She is a Yale-graduated attorney who worked for the World Bank under Rothschild, the Illuminati, Rockefellers, till 1997 as their attorney, until she became a whistleblower. They tried to kill her many occasions. They never had a chance. She's been blowing whistles about currency, about all that stuff that my uncle's been talking about, and this and that. She said recently that the Vatican is hiding aliens. Now, the Bible tells us of an alien invasion. These people were around since previous ice ages. These are the ones with the elongated skulls. They have different DNA. They call them Homo cephanesis. It's C-E-P-R-A-N-E-S-I-S. And they have bright blue eyes. And the hats that the bishops wear, they're big and elongated. Mm-hmm. Many, they almost look like us except for their skulls and their eyes. So these hats are hiding these people, she said. And when asked how she knows that, they told her, you're a prominent attorney. Aren't you afraid people are going to, you know, think you're crazy? And she says, yes, but I'm exposing the corruptions in the World Bank. I'm also exposing the corruption in the Vatican, which belongs to the World Bank. She said, the goal is to control and enslave the nations, and to addict politicians to financial gain so that the elite can control them, so that they control the laws of the people. And all mainstream media is a fact. Is owned by these Zionists that my uncle spoke of. You look at their owners of all the main news stations that are giving us bull crap. These people are these elite. They own everything. Now, also, the Vatican owns the largest Lucifer. Why did the Vatican name the largest piece of equipment on a telescope on the world, Lucifer? Mm-hmm. They claim it's an acronym, but if you look at the acronym, it doesn't say Lucifer. Some of the letters are there. It's Large Binocular Telescope Near Infrared Utility with Camera and Integral Field Unit for Extragalactic Research. They claim that's why they named it Lucifer, because it's an anagram. There's mm-hmm. It's L-B-T-N-I-U-C. It doesn't say Lucifer, just the N does.
Right.
Okay, now it's at the University of Arizona. It's placed, this Lucifer equipment, it's a binocular, is placed on the University of Arizona's largest telescope. On Mount Graham. Now, the Vatican owns the one right next to it. It's called VAT, V-A-T-T. They have Lucifer and VAT. This is all from the Vatican website. To watch for an alien savior. We are soon to be visited by an alien savior from another world, and he will come upon Nibiru. Okay? These are things that people don't realize, and it's the information is out there. They're telling us. They're not just going to come on the news and say, oh, the aliens are here. People would flip, but if they give it to us little by little by little, just like they're doing, and not promoting it on mainstream media, letting the people that, like us, the truth tellers, wake up, find this information, spread the word peacefully so that people know what's in store. But aliens are here, and for the Vatican to be so blunt about it starting March 2014, when my prediction, if you remember, July 2014, everything was going to hit the fan with Israel. Do you remember that,
mm-hmm.
Lori?
I do remember.
And it did. So please, people, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I just, because I'm not scared. I just want you to be aware of the truth, because the truth shall set you free, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Well, and one thing we have to keep in mind is, you know, the people in power and everything else all over, I mean, there is enough power out there that if they didn't want somebody to be whistleblowing, believe me, those people would not be whistleblowing. So mm-hmm. those whistleblowers, quote unquote, are technically, they're tools also, like in
they're
a
like
sense.
Us.
Yeah, they're being allowed to be a whistleblower.
Mm-hmm. Has a lot to do with the negative blood too. I think your daughter's going to be one.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's so funny that you had said that. But yeah, so I just feel like if we're hearing things out there, it's because we're supposed to be hearing them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
from
not just an accident. Yeah.
So I think my uncle wanted to talk about something.
And I do. I definitely want to hear Troy and your uncle's opinion on this for sure. But since we're going to a break and then we will be at the last segment, I wanted to make sure they had full time. So we're heading to our last and final break. We'll be back with the last segment. I'd love to hear from Joe and Troy on the opinion of the aliens at the Vatican.
You are tuned to the dirt. You are tuned to the dirt. Get interactive with Lori by contacting her blog at lorischulz.blogspot.com. Here comes your diva of the dark, Lori Schulz.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into the dirt tonight. We have had a fantastic show. I have the most phenomenal guests, Elaine D'Angelo, Joe Bruno, and Troy Sorber. I just want to thank you all for being here tonight. In case we run this right to the very end, I just want to say that you guys are all always a welcome guest on my show, and I appreciate each and every one of you for being here and spending the time to help enlighten and educate all the people listening. So thank you very much, all three of you.
And I love you.
I love you too. Very much. And so now we were talking about just getting Troy's opinion on this. And Troy, I'm not really sure if you, Troy and Joe's, if you were aware of this, the aliens possibly being hidden at the Vatican and about, you know, the telescope and everything else. But I wasn't sure if you had an opinion on this.
I do. And my opinion always comes from the Bible because that's the most important message that God ever gave us.
Okay.
But let me just read two verses, and this is talking the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, and talks about his golden head and then his bronze shoulders and then iron thighs, and then it gets down to the toes, and the toes are mixed with ceramic clay. And this is what it says about the toes. It says, "As you saw iron mixed with clay, they will mingle with the seed of man, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay." So it's something other than the seed of man is trying to mix with man. Just grammatically it says that, you know. And so
exactly.
The seed of man is the humanity. And so something other than humans is going to try to mix with the seed of man, is what I think.
Okay.
And you got all the religions of the whole world that all want to kill each other. And then when the 7 years comes, they all become one world religion. So something changes everything to where you don't want to kill each other because... And aliens really could solve everything.
Okay.
You know, they could be the thing that everyone says, oh, they created us and it might change everyone's thoughts on religion, and so now they can make a one world religion.
Right, but there's also reptilians who are the bad sun, the seed of the bad sun, reptilians who hate mankind, and there's Greys and Palladians and other types of aliens who love mankind. So there's always good and bad, because remember, you know, where there's good, there's bad.
Even God within created, our own race.
Right. God created the bad sun and the good sun. So there's bad aliens, yet will they help us? Some are here to help us. Others are here to enslave us. But
I wanted to hear Joe's opinion,
I want to give them some time. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Genesis chapter 6, it talks about the sons of God who came down before the flood of Noah, came down. They saw the daughters of men were fair, so they interbred amongst them. So there's proof right there in Genesis chapter 6, which there's a whole book about that one chapter that was taken out of the Bible that talks about these watchers or these fallen angels or these sons of God who were aliens. And I believe that these sons of God were from the planet Nibiru. And the aliens from the planet Nibiru were said to be shapeshifters, so they could take any form. Earth being a lizard-like continent, they became shifted into lizard-like people. And right now, I think they are walking among us, and we do have some shapeshifters walking among us right now. And we know that they were here in the past. We know they were the ones that built the pyramids in the past and built built Stonehenge and all the things that we can't describe and science can't describe right now. How this happened. So whether they're in the Vatican or not, probably yes, I would say that, yes. But I know for a fact they were here in the past. They're probably here now walking around. And there's different types of aliens. Now, there's the spiritual aliens are called the Palladians, and they're in spiritual form, which they can't really come down and live on the earth because of their form. And there's the Greys, which crashed in Area 54 in Arizona in the 1940s. and they're the little bodies in the big hedge, which they could be aliens or they could be us here from the future, because we evolved so much in the future that we could come back in time, and we would have invented the time machine to come back in time. So there's different types of aliens, and I think that the ones from Nibiru, and the reason why the Vatican has this telescope and they're watching it, is they're watching for Nibiru because it comes around every 3,600 years.
And they've even said that. Vatican sponsors or Vatican spokespeople have even recognized Nibiru planet X.
And Anu was the god from the god seated at the highest. They called him the god seated at the highest, and his sons were Enki and Enlil. And Enki and Enlil are synonymous with Jehovah and Yahweh in the Bible. So every instance in the old Bible where they had Jehovah and Yahweh, they took out and they replaced it with God. So there's no longer plurality in the Bible.
Right. And we're a binary solar system. So the reason why scientists are finding all these new planets that they've never saw before in our own solar system is not because they couldn't see them before. It's because we're merging. Every 3,600 years, we merge with the Nibiru solar system. We become a binary system. Okay, and 3,600 years ago was Moses. Okay, and look what happened. We talked about the story of Moses, how he went up to the mountain. No, he went up to Nibiru. Their solar system merged with ours. 3,600 years before that, Nibiru system was here. That was the flood of Noah. So, and the Egyptians, look at their writings, look at their drawings. They draw people with the elongated head. 3,600 years ago, Nibiru was in our solar system. We were their neighbors.
The Bible says only 6,000 years.
Right, and Noah's grandfather, Enoch, he was taken aboard the spaceship, and there's a big story about how Enoch was shown the universe.
Right.
And then he was brought back to Earth. And he taught his son Methuselah, who wind up living to 1,000 years old, the oldest living man in history. He taught him all the secrets of immortality. That's why he lived so long.
Right. And Enoch was thrown out of the Bible during Constantine. Constantine. So
right.
That's why all those, even the Book of Thomas speaks of a spaceship. Okay, did who remember singing the Ezekiel saw the wheel? That, you know, that song we sung in, you know, Bible study. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel saw the wheel way up in the middle of the
right.
air.
It was a chariot, actually.
Right. It was a spaceship. It
right.
was not.
And both Bethlehem and Jerusalem were spaceships. Bethlehem stands for the house of God. And when the wise men seen the star of Bethlehem, it was actually a spaceship they were following because it did not follow the way the other planets were going. It was going the opposite way. And they were following that because they knew it was a spaceship. And Jerusalem was also a spaceship because when Mary and Joseph in the Bible always went to Jerusalem, they always walked up to Jerusalem. So Jerusalem was a spaceship on top of a mountain where Mary and Joseph walked up to Jerusalem.
And how did Mary become artificially inseminated? If she never had sex with a human and she was pure and she was inseminated through alien technology with the blood of an Enki, which is Anu's son,
right,
good
right,
son.
Right. And Mary spent supposedly 9 to 10 months up in Jerusalem, and her womb was being prepared for the birth of
right.
Jesus.
And when they say that in the Bible that Jesus is not going to come like a peasant walking, you know, a carpenter, when the second coming, he's going to come out of the sky, and all the people in the world will see him. He's going to come from the sky. I mean, is it so hard to believe that we're made of something that's invisible or made of some other kind of higher being? He's still God. He's just not an invisible God. He lives somewhere. He came from somewhere. And he's all the universe's father. We goes back to our DNA. We only know 5% of our DNA. The other 95% could be made up of 95 different other species of aliens, you know. So Mary was inseminated through alien technology. I mean, I know people think it's crazy out there, but think about it. Would you rather believe in a God that's invisible rather than believe in a superior being who's capable of creating any type of reality in any dimension, in any realm?
I just
yeah,
want to. Go ahead, Troy.
If he could create anything, you know, create the universe from nothing, I'm sure he could tell, you know, the Holy Spirit to inseminate Mary without having to touch her.
Well, you right, but that's a literal, and that's not literal. That's the way it's interpreted. I'm sure there was some kind of some kind of procedure done, rather than somebody snapping their fingers and Jesus appearing in her womb. God is the creator of everything, yes, but he also allows his two sons, who, in fact, have a bit of humanity in them.
Well, one good thing is we'll be all-knowing, and we do know who wins the war. So we do have that going for all of us. So if there's anything that each of you would like to say before we head out, we've got about 30 seconds each. If you want someone to look at your website, if you'd like to say your name or any way that people can look something up, go for it quickly. Let's start with Troy, then we'll go to Elaine, and then we'll end with Joe. And I just want to say thank you again, all of you, for being on The Dirt.
You.
Okay, so Troy?
I don't have any website or anything. I just pray and get a personal relationship with Jesus.
Thank you, Troy.
Amen.
Amen. Elaine?
Well, we have so much more we can talk about, and I think, you know, if you want to have us back,
love
it would
to.
Be great, because there's a lot of topics that we didn't cover that we didn't get to.
Okay. I would love to have you all back, and we will definitely discuss that, but is there any way you'd like to lead anybody? You got about 10 more seconds, Elaine.
Again, I just want to say get back to Christ. He's the only one that can help at this point. And live your life, love, live, laugh, and be happy.
Awesome.
And
thank
do unto
you.
Others.
Thank you. And Joe?
Yeah, I just say believe in God, whatever shape or form that you think God is in, no matter what it is, just believe in him, and he is our creator.
All right. Thank you so much, Joe. Thank you, all three of you, so much for being on The Dirt. And stay tuned next week for The Dirt, everybody, and enjoy your weekend. We've got the Zach and Brian show coming up. And again, thank you so much, Elaine D'Angelo, Joe Bruno, and Troy Sorber for being on The Dirt.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.